Hello everyone, welcome to the Pentecostal Pen Podcast, engaging Christians to reach out, make disciples, and lead for the cause of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of having Brother DJ Hill in a ministry call for the Atlantic District Multicultural Ministries. And the purpose of these calls is to create a culture of evangelism and discipleship. And in this session that we had with him, he was talking about capacity and what evangelism and what discipleship looks like in the New Testament, exemplified by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just excited to share this session with you. Brother DJ Hill is the promotions director for the United Pentecostal Church Youth Ministries, and he was the evangelism pastor for Atlanta West Pentecostal Church. And he is just so excited about this lesson. He's passionate about evangelism and discipleship. I believe that you will enjoy and get something from this session with Brother DJ Hill.
So first, I want to say thank each and every one of you. I love that all of you all kind of have the same theme, and that's probably why you're here. It's not for me doing music lessons, but it's you want to learn and I want to learn how to better from the Word of God. How can I make disciples? How can I win souls? How can I experience revival and harvest? What can I do to do that? And I want to first not just congratulate and affirm that each and every one of you are a minister, but I want to let you know that's what the Bible says, is that everybody is a minister. When God died, Jesus manifest, God manifest in flesh. When Jesus died, he said that I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you my spirit. And then in Acts 2, it says that you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And I know in some different translations, or when we say it, sometimes we'll say the Holy Spirit. And that's okay. That's synonymous. But I love that term Holy Ghost, because in those days, the idea of a ghost, what that meant is that it's somebody's spirit that is left between this world and the next because it has unfinished business. It's like a haunting. And so what that ghost is trying to do is accomplish its task that it was meant to do so that it can go to the next world. And I love that, because when they said Holy Ghost through inspiration, it was that God's spirit is here because he has unfinished business. And so when you receive the spirit of God, when I receive the spirit of God, it is for to finish God's business, to seek and to save those that are lost. We are called to go and make disciples. It's the Great Commission. And you and I are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to go out and reach a lost and dying world. So I want to first say that that is the commission. And that is that every one of us are ministers. And I want to start off by first saying that I'm nobody perfect. I'm no better off than anybody else. I don't have all the knowledge or all the answers. But what I do have is some experience, and that's what I want to share. And I appreciate what Brother Lunga said, that he wants to learn, and Brother Donaldson mentioned it from a different perspective. I'm going to learn from you when you ask questions. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to write down. I want to be a student and learn what you're doing in your local churches, what you're doing in your own ministry, because I'm nobody special or perfect. I'm not an expert, but I am going to share some principles and things that I've learned in my life. And one of those things that I'm really excited about, I don't know if you all listened to me on the Pentecostal Pen from a couple months ago, but I talked about Kevin at the end. And Kevin was baptized a few months back. Now it's been about 9 months. What I'm so excited about is 2 weeks ago on a Sunday during service, Brother John just got done preaching and Kevin's sitting down, and he's, you know, kind of just wrestling. If you listen to the Pentecostal Pen, you understand his personality. He's kind of wrestling. So I went up and I sat next to him. I put my arm around him. He put his arm around me and we just started to pray. And there was no question about it. It was not stammering lips. But all of a sudden, Kevin started to speak in a language that he never learned, as the Spirit of God gave him the ability. And Kevin received the gift of the Holy Ghost 2 weeks ago, and we got to celebrate it. And so I just want to share some of the principles that I learned with Kevin. What did I do with Kevin? So there's going to be two different tracks I want to learn. There's an A thing I'm going to teach, and then there's a B thing. We're going to focus more on the B thing tonight. But A, as a leader, before we talk about our personal thing, as a leader, this is what I try to implement here at Atlanta West, and what I would suggest every church in the world should do. As you go and find five Bible study teachers, So many times we want every church and everybody in the church to teach a Bible study, but reality is not everyone's going to. Have y'all ever experienced that? You might have been able to preach or teach in your church, or your pastors preached a passionate message about soul winning. Everyone raises their hand that they're going to be a part of the mission, but then like three people are doing it, right? Y'all have ever experienced that? It's just life, right? So instead of trying to get 50 or 100, or if your church has it, 500, instead of trying to do that, in 2021, you have 1 month before 2021 is here. Identify five people in your church that can be Bible study teachers. So let's just act like we're a church right now. And, you know, we're at First United Pentecostal Church of Canada. Okay. So I'm going to identify five people: Brother Raymart, Brother James, Sister Dawn, Brother Chris, Sister Laura. Okay, you all are my five people. If I'm the evangelism director, evangelism pastor, outreach pastor, I think that you all have the potential to go and make a disciple. So what I'm going to do as the leader is I'm going to every week just text you, hey, who are you teaching a Bible study to? They don't need to teach 20. They need to just go and find one person to teach a Bible study to. Because James, if you teach a Bible study once a week, and Laura and Chris and Don and Raymart, if all five of you do, and in next year, all of you win one soul and make one disciple, and not 20, and all your time and the seeds everywhere else, but if you're a sniper and you're very thought through and you're teaching a very detailed Bible study, you're going exploring God's word into his marvelous light, you're taking him through scripture, you're reviewing what the pastor taught and preached on Sunday and Wednesday, you're talking about the Sunday school lesson, and you're just going through the word of God in 1 year, that person can be discipled. And you know what happens? Our church just grew by five. And it's not five people who just received the Holy Ghost that drove by and saw the sign and then came in, received the Holy Ghost, and then they're never there again. It's someone that you have a relationship with. So if they're not there, you know it. And then you're meeting with them every week so you can see their progress. When a baby's born, the mom's there every single day. And so every week, if you're there with one of those people, so our five people, Laura, Chris, Don, Ray, Mark, James, if each one of you teach a Bible study to one person, more than likely, that person is going to be a great disciple by the end of 2021. They might not have it all together, but they're going to be very far more than someone that just drove by, experienced God, and then kept on driving because there's a relationship. And so now the church grew by five. But then instead of just it growing by five every year, that's incredible. God knows if we have five people come to church and stay in church, that's growth. I'm excited about that here at Atlanta West. I love that. But more than that, let's say in June, halfway through the year, James, you identify somebody that you can train to teach Bible studies as well. It might not be your disciple, the person you're discipling, but it's somebody else. So James, you're helping Jeremy teach a Bible study. So like me, the director, I'm making sure, James, you're teaching a Bible study to Jim, and every week you're teaching Jim. Well, now halfway through the year, now that you've kind of got a rhythm, now you're helping Jeremy and you're keeping up with Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, are you teaching a Bible study to John? And then now guess what? By the end of 2021, if just half of the people that you're not teaching a Bible study to, because that's five, let's say we're going to win them. If just two of them start to teach a Bible study, now the church doesn't grow by five, it grows by seven. But then watch this. Now in 2022, if the seven Bible study teachers are all doing the same thing, that means there's 14 people teaching a Bible study that are focused, that know what they're doing, that have made a disciple before, that's not just inspired, but they don't have the information. There's 14 people. There's seven here, the five originals, two that you guys trained, five more that the director's going after, and then the five that y'all are going after. That's 14 people. And let's say even only half of those people. Now, the first year we grew by seven, the second year we grew by seven, and then you keep going. What happens now in 5 years from now? You can be growing by 50 people. Because in the New Testament, they didn't have a problem with growth, church growth. They had a problem with structure. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in praying. And God added to the church daily. So they didn't have a problem with church growth. So now our problem in the 21st century is not structure. We know service order. We have the programs. We have the systems. We have small groups. We have Sundays. We have Wednesdays. We have discipleship classes. We have the growth track. We have a lot of structure, but our issue is the church growth. So the way to solve church growth is to do what they did in the book of Acts. It worked for them. It worked in the 19th century at Azusa Street. It wasn't every worrying about everybody teaching one. But instead, you as an evangelism director or you as a leader in your church, you go find 2 to 5 people that you can make sure that they're teaching a weekly Bible study. And then now, in a year, that's a potential of 5 people that are going to be apostolic and firm in truth. How incredible is that we can win 5 people? But then next year, now that James, you're teaching it every year, I'm, as the director, going to go find 5 more people, and I'm not worried about y'all because you're doing it. And it's addictive. And once you teach a Bible study and someone receives the Holy Ghost, you're wanting to do it again. I'm not even moved to St. Louis yet, but my wife and I already have somebody lined up, Diana Church. She's British. She's so funny and spunky. She's like 70 years old, but we're going out to eat in a couple weeks with her when we move there. Why? Because I love Bible studies. I want what happened with Kevin to happen to Diana and whoever my neighbor is when we get to a house. I want them to receive the Holy Ghost because I have unfinished business because God's Spirit is inside of me.
Wow, amazing.
So if you multiply by 5, next year by 10, the next year by 15, the next year by 20, your church can grow by 100 within 5 years. You grow big by growing small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a football. It's all about the fundamentals. So let's not try to get 100 people to teach a Bible study. Go and find 5 this year. Go and influence 5 people, challenge 5 people to do it and keep up with 5 of them. Jesus didn't do hundreds. He literally kept up with 12 and then he sent them out by 2s. And then he got 70 after the 12 was good and established and, you know, they're starting to get into gear and Peter stopped talking too much and he still struggled with that some. Then he went and got 70. He didn't just go with the multitude. He went with 12 and then even that he had 3 and then even that he had 1 that he discipled. So let's not try to eat the whole elephant. You eat it 1 bite at a time. Because in reality, each and every one of you know the answers. How many gods are there?
This one.
What is it? How, if I ask you, how am I supposed to be saved? What would you say? Be born again, right? John 3:5, Acts 2:38, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, Acts 22. We would say those things, right? So if we're asking that stuff, we know the answers. And so what we must do is get it into everyday life. Jesus was incredible at this. He used parables. He said, this fig tree is like the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this lost coin. You see that sheep away from their shepherd? The kingdom of God is like that lost sheep. You guys, you all can do that. You know how to relate to people in your life. I can't relate to girls that well because I'm not a girl, but I can relate to a guy. And so God is like this water bottle. I just made this up. I saw a water bottle, so I'm making this up right now. If you're lost and you're trying to figure out what does it mean to be saved and what is repentance and what is all this stuff, God is like this water bottle. See, if it's full of Coke and you really need something better for you, like water, you don't just pour water in there with the Coke because it's not going to fill it. What you have to do is you have to open it up. You have to empty it out. And when it's completely empty, you clean it out. And then what happens? Then you can be filled. Well, that's what being born again is. You know that, Prince? Being born again is getting rid of all the Coke, all the stuff that shouldn't be there. It's saying, God, I'm sorry. You know, I've made these mistakes. And it's confessing it to God. But then you don't just get something poured in. Why? Because it's still dirty. So repent and be baptized. You have to clean it with soap and water to disinfect it. The name of Jesus. And then you can be filled with something that's incredible. And it's just taking something every day and making it make sense. It's making it make sense. Kevin Jones has not grew up in church. He's not an apostolic. He's not a backslidden apostolic that I want. Kevin Jones is a first generation. He was a fighter. You can know a little bit more about him from the Pentecostal pen. So I didn't go to the book of Revelations and say, Melchizedek, the statuist, and this is how you're saved. Because he didn't understand that. He was confused about Adam and Eve. I had to start at A, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And so what we did is every week for over a year and a half, every week we would be, and we would just read 5 books of the Bible a week. And he would come to me with questions. Well, why this? Why did Jacob and Esau fight? What does that mean for me? What am I supposed to learn from that? How does that help my marriage, DJ? How does that help me at my job? And through those conversations, just taking simple objects, just like Jesus did with parables, all of a sudden, Kevin started to understand stuff. And you know what's cool? Kevin's now teaching a Bible study. Kevin's now reaching. Amazing. I have another picture of Kevin. Kevin, I said something when I preached my last service here at Atlanta West. I said, I don't want the hole that you're saying I'm going to leave, which is very honorable from them. I don't want there to just be a hole. I want each and every one of you to fill it. And after service, Kevin texted me and said, I give you my word, I'm going to fill it. You know what? Kevin is helping a homeless man. This is Tim. He lives down the street from Kevin. Wow. And every day, Kevin packs an extra lunchbox. He makes an extra sandwich, puts an extra bag of chips in the bag, and he goes and takes it to Tim. And then there was a big hurricane that came through South Georgia, and Tim's place that he stayed, his tarp was tore up from branches falling on it. So Kevin went and bought him a tent. Kevin went and bought him socks and shoes. And I went out there and met Tim, and I watched Kevin talk to Tim and said, hey, if you need anything, let me know. Mm-hmm. That's disciple making. Everybody a disciple maker. But I want to really focus on in my last few minutes before we have questions and answers. Everybody wants to have a Kevin Jones story, right? Everyone wants to see someone that they personally won to Christ receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, be baptized, right? Everybody wants that. Everybody wants their church to grow.
Yes, everybody.
But the real issue is capacity. It's not that DJ Hill is anything special. Believe me, it's not. You all know the answers. You know there's one God. You know that they need to be born again. You can go to scriptures. You probably can say it in a different way, better in some ways than me. And that's okay. I don't know the book of Revelation. I stay away from it, just like you probably do during Bible studies. And that's okay. But you know the answers. But the issue isn't, do we have the answers? We're going to talk about how to answer certain questions over the next couple of weeks. But the answer is capacity. That's really the issue. So let's just make it really plain and simple. Okay, let's say that we all go to church 50 weeks a year. Okay, because 2 weeks vacation, I haven't had that yet. So in years, if you go to church 50 weeks a year, Sundays and Wednesdays, let's say 4 hours on Sundays because we have 2 services and then 2 hours on Wednesdays. That's most churches don't last 6 hours over the week. That's 300 hours a year. 300 hours a year. That's 2 months worth of school for a student that goes to public school. They're in church a year's time. 2 months worth of school. And so it has to be outside of the church building because that's what the apostles did. Americans and Canadians spend on average 2,912 hours a year sleeping. So a third of the year, 1,459 hours last year was working. Or if you're a school student, K through 12, or I know you all school systems a little different, 1,230 hours. So that's right around 16% of the year working. On average, 5.82% of the year has been eating. That's 509 hours, 343 hours spent vacationing, 293 hours spent in a car, 156 hours cleaning, 155 hours exercising, 122 hours with romance, 144 hours socializing, 74 hours in the bathroom last year, probably more for guys. It took women 109 hours last year to get ready, and men only 82 hours, 95 hours spent getting ready on average. And I can share all these with you if you want. Just put in the chat. I'll email you all these numbers. I'm going through them just to kind of show you we spend a lot of time doing things. On average, people spent 1,261 hours on TV and social media last year. That's equivalent to how many hours kids spend in school a year. How many hours kids spend in school a year. So that equals up to 7,823 hours, exercising, romance, sleeping, eating, working, all that stuff. So what's left out of a year? 937 hours a day. I mean, a year. That's 2 hours and 30 minutes a day. So right around 2 hours, and you all probably are way busier than that. Do any of you all have two extra hours in the day where you're not doing anything? Right. So we want to win a soul, but there's no capacity. When do you and I make time to go and teach a Bible study? If that's the most important thing, is to win souls and make disciples, if that's our mission, when are we doing it? That hits really heavy. And I learned that lesson too. And so I'm not preaching to you anything that I'm not willing to do myself. Because when I get off this call at 9 o'clock here in Atlanta, Georgia time, I'm going to go across the street at our church building, and me and Kevin are going to go hang out. Now, I've been packing all day. I'm exhausted. I don't want to. I haven't even eaten dinner yet. But how do I expect to win a soul if I don't make time to win a soul?
Right, right.
And so before we go into any other principles about evangelism, discipleship, I think the A and the B is very plain. The A is just break it down. Don't try to get 100 people to do it. Just get 5 people to teach a Bible study consistently next year, and you can increase by 5. That's incredible. We want that. And it's not 5 random hokey pokey people. It's people that have been through a Bible study that are probably way further along than saints that just sit there and don't get involved at all because they've had care every single week being taught a Bible study. And everybody, including me, when I first heard that, that's not original with me, but when I first heard that principle and I started to implement that here at Atlanta West and I started seeing growth, I was like, man, this is incredible. I had to look in the mirror and say, well, when am I teaching a Bible study? Because just like with prayer, if you can't tell me where and when you're praying, you're probably not praying. If you can't tell me when and what day of the week and what time you're teaching a Bible study, you're probably not teaching one. And that's hurt. That hurts. And it's hard. And I'm looking in the mirror. I'm saying that to myself as well, because I don't want to move to St. Louis and just get busy doing ministry and just lose out on winning souls. Because there's a lot of other guys that can preach that, and there's better preachers than me. But who's going to teach Kevin a Bible study? Who's going to teach Diana Church a Bible study? There's people that you know that are at your school or your work or in your family that I might not ever meet. And you can reach them. But there has to be capacity. There's times when I was exhausted. But because I loved Kevin Jones, I got up and I taught another Bible study. As I was preparing to move, I was in the crawl space for 3 hours. That's the like bottom of our house. That's a basement. It's like 2 feet high, and I'm crawling around laying a vapor barrier. I'm trying to do all these repairs on the house to be able to sell it. And that was the night I was supposed to do a Bible study. So at 10 o'clock, with paint on my pants, with dust on my face and dirt on my face from being underneath the house, I drove to the church exhausted, and I taught a Bible study to Kevin. We talked about the Holy Ghost that night. 2 days later, church on Sunday morning, Kevin received the Holy Ghost. That's not, DJ's nothing special. We were shooting basketball while we were talking about the Holy Ghost. He stopped and he said, you know, I feel something, but like, what do I do with it? And I just talked to him about what it means to kind of open up and just freely worship and just, you know, surrender to God. And it wasn't super formal. I wasn't wearing a suit, but it's just because I had capacity. I made time. And I'm nothing special. I'm nothing different than each and every one of you. So before we go on the principles, before we talk about cool ways and unique tips and all the different ways to teach a Bible study, before we share any of that over the next couple sessions, first, I need to look in the mirror. You need to look in the mirror and say, why learn all this if we're not going to do it? Why even waste our time being on a call if we're not going to do it? If we're not going to shift our priorities and say, you know what, I need to get off social media. I don't need to watch TV if your church allows that. I need to stop getting involved in watching sports. I might need to cut out some hobbies Or I might need to include other people in those hobbies, but I got to do whatever it takes. I need to win a soul. Now, it's not an overnight thing. I taught Kevin Jones for over a year and a half. Now, this is DJ Hill, whatever you know of me, as cool as people think I might be. It took me a year and a half, and that's okay. It takes time, but I have to make time. I have to make time. Jesus spent 3 years. God manifested in flesh spent 3 years with disciples, and they still were making mistakes when he was about to die. Peter cutting off ears and denying Jesus, people running away from the cross and going crazy, Judas betraying him. They spent 3 years with him. So it's going to take you time, but it's also going to take you time. So if you want to win a soul, if I want to keep winning souls, if you want to keep winning souls, it's going to take capacity. We're going to go over principles later. But where in our week are we spending time actually teaching a Bible study? Because if we're not doing it, then the people that we lead aren't doing it. And the people that are going to keep driving by the church aren't going to do it. And there's never going to be a culture like the book of Acts that had that church growth, because they spent time daily. So where are we spending our time? Do we have capacity? The same is true for a church. We build buildings so that we can have more people there. If you want a 500-person church, you don't have just one toilet for boys and girls to share. What do? You do building programs, and you build a bigger facility, and you build more bathrooms and more Sunday school rooms. Well, the same is true. If we want to win souls and make disciples, what it's going to take is us having capacity. We need more room to do that. We need more room to do that. And so what I must do is I must build my faith up, and I must increase my capacity to win souls and to make disciples. I want to pray with you. God, I think we've all been convicted, including me. I spend my time doing a lot of things that are not eternal. They're not wrong. They're not sin, but they're not eternal. And the author of Hebrews in 12, verse 1, he said, lay aside every weight and sin. So God, help me to get rid of weights, things that distract me, things that slow me down, things that take up my time. And help me to have a capacity to teach a Bible study. Help me not to be so busy doing church stuff that I'm not actually being the church and teaching a Bible study, winning a soul and making a disciple. I pray for each and every person that we can evaluate ourselves after this call. And we can say, what can I do starting next week? Even this week, because it's only Monday. What can I do this week to shift my time around, to do better at teaching Bible studies? Help us in Jesus' name.